In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud Adda Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 reads, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." You may be saying, "Wrong feast, Rabbi. Wrong occasion." Well, no, it's befitting also to the birth of Jesus Christ, which we will be celebrating in a few weeks' time. And there is a lesson to be learned. There is a lifestyle to be adapted. You see, the fulfillment of the prophecy, which I read, is being put to motion from the get-go, from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prophecy itself falls so short to a lifestyle, victory, glamour, splendor of a king of kings and a lord of lords, a savior, a redeemer, which was long awaited. From his childhood, the king of kings, the lord of lords, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, praise, glory, honor, thanksgiving and worship be to his holy name, has announced, defined, underlined humility from his childhood. You see, the Lord of creation, we read, had no place to be born. John chapter 1 verse 3, we read, "Everything was in his hand," talking about the Word of God, Jesus Christ. "And without him, not even one thing existed of the things that existed." Yet, this person through whose hands everything was made, the Lord of creation, had no place to be born. The Lord is born on earth, and he does not have even a cell in which to be born, for there was no room for him in the inn, in the hotel. How true is that today? That is the writings of the church fathers, which I was quoting, and I'll be doing a lot of that this episode. How true is that today in this wicked world there is more room for evil than good? Evil lifestyles, evil people, evil legislations, evil laws, evil governments, evil here, there, and everywhere. And sad but true to say, even in some churches. There is hardly any room for good to dwell and take effect. Thank God that when the day of the Lord God comes as a thief, in which the heavens suddenly pass away, but the elements being set on fire shall be destroyed, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be discovered, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So the entire human race had a place, beloved, and the Lord, about to be born on earth, had none. There was no place for him. He found no room among men. God's holiness and righteousness today finds no room in our unholiness and unrighteousness. Yet he graciously tolerates us until we return from our ways of wickedness and live one more time. Ezekiel 18:23. God incarnate found no room in Plato nor in Aristotle, one of the father's comments, that is philosophy, but in a manger. In a manger, in a stable, among beasts of burden and brute animals, and among the simple as well, and the innocent animals. That's why the Lord says in the Gospel, the foxes have dens and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. It's amazing that he who sits right at this moment as we speak at the right hand of the Father, meaning the power, the righteousness, reclaimed the glory he had because he emptied himself for our sake. He who sits at that right hand of the Father goes without shelter from the inn, that he may for us get ready many mansions in the house of his heavenly Father. One of the Father's quotes, John chapter 14, verse 2. Jesus, our Lord, was born in a stable, beloved, a stable of dung, manure. He found no room in the Holy of Holies that shone with gold, precious stones, pure silk and silver. He's not born in the midst of gold and riches, but in the midst of dung, in a stable where our sins were filthier than the dung. Born in our filthy condition. Why? But why, O Lord? If we ask that question and we are attentive to the voice of the Lord, we will hear the reply. In order to lift you up where you came from. According to Psalm chapter 114, verse 7. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor afflicted. You see, he was born in our condition. Jesus took on our sins so that he could crucify them on the cross. Jesus tasted our death so that he could overcome and be victorious over death. Jesus ascended into heaven so that one more time he could lift up our lowly state and life and fall and take us into heaven. Everything for you and I, beloved. He was not born in the house of his parents, but he was born in a stable, by the wayside, no privacy. Why, Lord? Why? Because through the mystery of the incarnation, he is becoming the way by which he guides us to our home, where we shall also enjoy the truth and the life with him. Our Savior's birth, again, is not a child that is wrapped in purple, which was the color of royalty, but one wrapped with rough pieces of cloth. Why? So that we may be freed from the snares of death. Psalm 18, verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. In his second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, St. Paul writes, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. For you and I, that's why he was born in a stable. That's why he was born in a stable that was full of dung, manure and animals. And then we see that he is placed on a manger. Now, what is a manger? Simple, a box where there is hay, food, feed for the animals. He is placed like feed in a manger. Why, beloved? Because he truly would become our spiritual food. His flesh will become our food in the form of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. So the manger was a prefigure of the altar today. When you go to the church and you look at that altar and the hosts have been placed on the altar, the chalice and the paten, remember that Jesus, as a child, was placed in a manger. A manger, a box of feed. He wasn't to be found in an ornate golden bed, but a manger. One of the fathers writes that the meaning of this is that he did not merely take upon himself our lowly mortality, but for our sakes, and again, for our sakes, took upon himself the clothing of the poor. Though he was rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Though he was Lord of heaven, he became a poor man on earth, emptying himself, beloved, of the glory. To teach us, we who are living on earth, that by poverty of spirit, we can win the kingdom of heaven. We can gain the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who are lowly in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. When we observe the nativity scene, we see our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in swaddling cloths. We don't see him in heaven, do we? We may even imagine the cry of an infant. But do we also imagine the lowing of an ox recognizing its master? There was an Anglican bishop or cardinal, a cardinal of the Anglican Church, who was on a quest to meet the patriarch of the Assyrian Church of the East in Qochanus. The tradition is that when he entered the room, he saw the patriarch of the Church of the East sitting on a sack and weaving a sack. He was amazed. His archdeacon was with him, the patriarch's archdeacon. So the Anglican cardinal or bishop started to question the patriarch of the Church of the East. Do you believe that Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of the flesh, God incarnate? And the patriarch said, yes. And he asked a few other questions. Then he asked, do you believe and accept that Jesus is God? The archdeacon springs up and says, of course he is God, because at his birth, even the animals worshipped him and they knew that this is their creator. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3, for the ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's crib. But beloved, we don't. It's all about gifts now, isn't it? It's all about the celebration, the Christmas parties, the drinking, the being merry. What are we really celebrating? What are we learning? What are we observing? Are we learning that Jesus, from his childhood, has taught us humility, to be humble? Do we learn and ascertain that everything that Jesus did for you and I? Do we know and understand and accept that it is time for me to glorify him and to give him thanksgiving? And as I said last episode, not just lip service, but obedience. How are you going to show your appreciation to the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, who came down in that lowly state for you and I? Are we going to attend church 10 minutes before it ends so that I can just go straight to the Holy Eucharist and commune the Holy Eucharist and walk out again? Am I going to go to church and hang out in the car parking or the parking lot and maybe smoke weed and maybe get up to some immorality in the cars, which I've heard of, beloved? Is this how we thank Jesus Christ? And we take pride because there were thousands of attendees for this feast. What about every Sunday when Jesus is being celebrated? Every time Christ is celebrated through the Holy Eucharist, do we make every effort to attend to give thanks to Jesus Christ? Am I going to attend church service with bickering and hatred and spite in my heart against my brother and my sister who has said boo to me? Is this how we repay the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did from the get-go, beloved? From when he was born. Remember, keep in mind, he was born in a stable of dung, manure. You can just imagine the stink. But you know, there's a message there, beloved. He was born in our stinking, dreadful, stenchful condition. But he, through his sacrifice, through his ministry on the earth, through his commands and his words, has made us to be a sweet fragrance to God the Father, according to St. Paul. Do we understand Christmas this way? Do we fathom the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in this manner? If not, we have got a long way to go in truly understanding what it means that Christ is born today. Is it only the carols and the Christmas decorations? And on Christmas Day, we're all going to be so religious and maybe even a little spiritual and start posting all these posts. Christ is born, praise be to his name. But a few posts further down, you know, the pictures that we post, the images that we post are so far away from Christ being born, so distant. My beloved, this Christmas, let us make a difference in our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls. Let us truly ponder on why Christ was born and the condition he was born in. And understand, it was all for you and for me. And when we truly understand, not just know, but understand that he was born to die for you and I, then, and maybe then, through God's grace, we'll have more respect for Jesus Christ through what we do, what we say, and how we conduct ourselves. Last episode I mentioned, on Christmas Day, to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise him, and truly show our appreciation, let us make peace. Because Jesus came to make peace between man and God. Let us pick up that phone and call that person that we haven't been speaking to. Let us pick up the phone and call that person who has hurt us. And let us enter that most uncomfortable situation. You know, I know it's not easy, but let us, as Jesus Christ, entered our lives, our world, through that most despicable condition. Let us enter that despicable condition and humble ourselves for Christ's sake to forgive and to truly bless the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ upon each other. As we come together with friends and family, let us pray, beloved. Pray for what Christ has done for us. Give thanks together and enjoy that bounty that the Lord will provide. I pray that you have a blessed and a very Merry Christmas. May the blessings of the Holy Feast of the Nativity of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords be blessed upon each and every one of you, now and at all times and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.